Hey everyone, this is Stelly Acti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of The Startup Trip, we're going to talk about how to do team retreats or company retreats.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And how to do them well. Like, why you should even consider doing them, why companies do them, how to do them wrong, how to do them well, what is the practical value of them. I just want to explore this idea with you. One of the reasons why I want to talk about this with you, Heaton, today is that I just returned from our last team retreat of the year. We just spent a week in Santa Barbara. It was beautiful, beautiful weather. And we spent a week there with 20 people. Our team has grown quite significantly from 8 people in January to 20 people. It's still a tiny team, but it's grown quite a lot for us. And there's just every retreat is different. Every retreat, we're learning new things. We're really very mindful about designing these retreats to accomplish certain things. And we're very, I think, careful about tracking how successful they were and what was surprising and what has changed. And we're designing these. We're not just showing up at some kind of a co-working space and go, let's have a week of fun or something. And we've been doing team retreats from day one. So we've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now. We've done quite a few company retreats and we've experimented quite heavily with it. So I have some strong opinions on this, but I also would love to hear your input, your opinions. I don't know if have you ever done company retreats with any of your companies? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, definitely done them. We did a bunch of them at Kissmetrics and I've participated in quite a few company retreats of other companies as well.
What is your take on this? So even before I jump in and share kind of my two cents, I'm curious, what do you think is the value of company retreats? Is it valuable? Is it more of a kumbaya, the extended version of a ping pong table? We want to be cool type of thing, but it's not really practical. What's your opinion in general about like companies that do retreats?
Yeah, majority of companies that I see doing retreats these days happen to be companies that are remote, like your company or my companies. At Kissmetrics, it was helpful because we were a remote team as well, and we had an office at that point. So I find it very valuable when the team doesn't get to have FaceTime that often because it's nice to see other humans that you work with in person. So I think it can be really valuable in those cases. It can be really valuable as the team grows. Like in your case, the team's grown, and people probably don't know each other really that well. So that can be helpful. And then in the case of like, even, I know you probably know a lot about this, but sales teams have their own sort of offsites, right? Or retreats, marketing teams, product teams, growth teams, engineering teams, all these teams do that, you know, especially as they grow and scale. So that's another type of retreat, I would say. And then recently I've heard of things that are even worse where it's like, worse, just, I don't know, I have opinions, but like where they go on a vacation, not a retreat, and nothing gets done. And it's more of a relaxing vacation. And in most cases, I haven't seen those work out very well because then the company gets used to vacationing all the time. Because even if you go a couple times a year, that's a vacation. Now, that's only in ones where nothing gets done and it isn't productive to the organization. And then it's just all about just hanging out with each other, which, you know, has its own merit. And after this, I'm going to say the final point that I have about these retreats and stuff, and then I'm sure you have a lot to share because you just came from one. I think it's very cultural. So I can say that, hey, going on a vacation 3 times a year or 4 times a year is bad if you don't accomplish anything beyond just hanging out with each other. But in some cultures and some companies, that could be the most amazing part of the company. It could be why people join the company. It could be that the company and the market they're in is really, really stressful, truly stressful, like, you know, like an Uber-like company. And by doing that, they keep the team motivated as they go through hell, so to speak. So I can't complain and say there's a wrong or right way to do retreats. What I can say is you have to make sure that they're culturally aligned with your company and that they don't become something where like it's all about the retreat and people are really looking forward to it in a way that's sort of like, oh, so the company is like, we just work and then we go on a retreat and that's our reward for working. So I don't think it should be like that. That being said, there are companies that do that and it works for them. So just like many other things in companies, this hits on culture and team and structure and all these other factors. So, yeah, I'm pretty much at this point really curious to hear like about how you guys do it and what you think about it. But that's my high level take.
Yeah, that's good shit. So I think that culturally for us, doing retreats is pretty much how this company started, right? So we were doing a startup and it wasn't working and we were banging our heads against the walls and it was still not working. And eventually we got to a point where we decided, all right, let's do this. Let's get back to some level of getting the creative juices flowing again. Let's do this. Let's take 3 weeks. Each founder, we're three founders, can pick a city, because we all love traveling, a city they've never been to that they want to visit. We'll Airbnb an apartment and we'll do three different throwaway ideas for 3 weeks and then come back and maybe that little bit of like time off creatively working on other things and not just like banging our heads against the wall and trying to fix this thing for the last year. Maybe that will help us and re-energize us. Maybe we'll find a solution for this, or maybe we'll find a solution or do something else. And we never got to do the three ideas in three different cities because we had the idea for what turned into Elastic Sales and then turned into Closeout. But we still went on the travel and we started outsourcing sales while in an Airbnb in Austin and then in Miami. And I started making cold calls for different startups, you know, while traveling. So kind of been always part of the DNA because the founders love traveling. We all love to travel. And that's kind of how the company even started. I think that there was a time where we had everybody in the same office. So we weren't a remote team and we would still do these retreats. And usually the purpose of them was that they would be typically kind of in the middle of the year and at the end of the year. And it was more of a day in, day out. We didn't want to have lots of meetings and lots of like strategic discussions and decisions and arguments, especially as the team grew to a larger amount. So we kind of always, we use those retreats as this is going to be the time we're going to sit down and think about the business long term. We're going to do some of the long term planning. And we're going to create some space to have discourse and discussions and arguments and think about things much more deeply and do that transparently with many people in the company versus having meetings over meetings over meetings every day. And then we also wanted to have some, you know, a good time and blow up the steam a little bit with everybody and just have create some good memories. Over time, as we moved into more a remote company, now we're fully remote business, the retreat has changed its purpose. It's still some of this like long-term strategy sessions and stuff like that, but the spending some quality time with people that you've never met or you've only seen the last time, you know, 6 months ago, or a year ago, that has become, I think, more valuable than it used to be when we were all in the same office, right? I think with all retreats that we've done, we had everything in there. We had retreats that were way too heavy on the work and that basically just turned into seven work days that were 14, 15 hours a day with like no breaks. And people were really burned out after the retreat. And we had the exact opposite, just like you said, it was basically a fucking vacation, right? And we went out every night and people had way too much fun and we created a lot of funny memories and we had just but it was just a fucking vacation. No work was really done. Nothing meaningful was accomplished. We swung on both ends of the spectrum and most of our retreats have been somewhere in the middle, but we've experimented with it and we've gone to the extremes, I think, of what's available. And now for the past, I think, 2 or 3 retreats, as the team has grown, as the business has grown, we've become a lot more intentional in designing the retreat. So now, you know, we take like 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks before the retreat, myself and some of the leadership in the company, and then myself and a team member that's basically kind of, you could call her like head of HR, recruiting. She's the good spirit of the business. We start really planning and thinking through the entire retreat and really designing the experience every single day. Like, what are we trying to accomplish in the entire retreat? What are some of the challenges? How do we design every single day? How we take out friction? And we've gotten a lot more intentional about using a retreat as a strategic tool to really move the business forward. And there's a lot of small things that have a really big impact, like picking the place where people are going to sleep and where they're going to work, making sure that the work, we've gotten to a practice where we try to have separate, you know, where people sleep and where they work, but make it close enough so people can walk. So that people can walk in the mornings, can walk if at any point they need a break or they need to take a nap, they could, you know, potentially walk back to their hotel room and take a nap or have a little bit of their own space. design that to be close. Then we look for workspaces that allow us to be loud and that's kind of disconnected from everybody else, not like open floor, co-working spaces. It doesn't work to have really intimate or really challenging discussions. But also we choose co-working spaces or office spaces where there's a great coffee place very close nearby, and we have like an open tap with them, and we take care of the entire like food. No decision needs to be made on food. So, you know, we plan the lunches ahead, and usually lunches are being ordered and delivered, and then we break the teams into smaller groups to have lunches and kind of in more intimate settings, and we have more like team dinners at nicer places outside. So we kind of decide every single little detail so that people don't have to decide, where do I live? How do I get to work? I'm at work. I need a coffee or I need a quick break of scenery. Where do I go now? You know, what's for lunch? What's for dinner? Like all these decisions are being taken care of. And then we try to now really come up with like a theme for the retreat. That's been a kind of a really useful tool where, you know, we just realized when you have 20 people from all kinds of places in the world and you bring them all to one place and you have like 5 days and many people have never met each other. We've hired most of these people recently. How much can you really accomplish? Right? There's a limitation of how many things you can practically get done in a good quality way. So we've gotten just really good at like prioritizing for like, this is the theme of the retreat, right? And the last retreat that we did in Berlin, for instance, one of the theme that came out of it is that we wanted every new person, everybody in the company to just ask themselves two questions. What can we do to get to make our customers more successful? And what can we do to get more successful customers? Those were the only two questions people were allowed to ask and the two questions we wanted them to focus on. As we'd experienced that a lot of the new people that we had onboarded, because they were new and because we were trying to do an incredibly good job onboarding them, we spent too much time kind of babysitting, baby feeding, taking too little steps. People were too careful on not making mistakes, not rocking the boat, making sure they're doing everything right. We're moving a little too slow. So that turned into the theme of like, you should just ask these two questions and that those should be your guiding posts on what kind of things you do, what projects you work on. And that was kind of a big thing, a big theme of the entire week and projects that people broke out to in smaller groups and all that. We try to have like one theme for the entire retreat, one big thing we're trying to accomplish, either refocus the company on or a problem to fix or decision to make or whatever. And then it's a lot of like allowing people to get to know each other and allowing for certain conversations to take place that would never take place as we're a remote company. So we do lunches, for instance, and we will design who's going to have lunch with whom. So we don't do 20 people lunches. We do 4 or 5 people lunches. And we decide, we tell you in your calendar, you're going to have, you know, you're somebody in marketing, you're going to have a lunch with one person from engineering, one person from support, or one other random person. And we will even suggest sometimes, hey, if you guys don't know what to talk about, here's 3 questions you can ask each other for lunch, right? And we'll make sure that certain conversations happen where, you know, people get to know each other in ways they wouldn't, and people debate and discuss problems that they don't usually. And there's all kinds of like projects that pop out of that and decisions and problem solving or uncovering that there are problems or misalignments that wouldn't happen if we're just remote. It wouldn't probably happen if we just all came together for a week and we just had a good time, went out to party and just all worked alongside each other, but we didn't design the experience and put people in places with questions and in environments to stimulate certain things to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think the moral of this is, to me, it has a lot to do with just making sure that you're scripting the experience as much as you can so that people are able to get value. Value means like you're making the most of the time together. And I think that so many companies forget about that basic thing.
Yeah,
Pretty basic.
Yeah, I think that most companies, when you think about a team retreat, you think about, let's find a cool place, get everyone together and have a good time together, right? Or work along. Or if you're a remote company, you might think, well, we almost never see each other, so let's just come together and work alongside each other. A lot of good things will happen if we just do this. But then if you're not mindful as the group grows, it's very hard to accomplish anything. It's a very loud, noisy environment and everybody has their own problems and challenges. And if you don't design the experience, it's more likely than not, it's just like creating a conference. Like if you just say, we're going to invite 500 people interested in quote-unquote business, and we're going to bring this into one room and that's a conference, it's going to create a problem. You need to have an agenda. You have to have speakers. You have to have breakout sessions. You have to have talks. You need to have a theme. You need to know who is the audience and what do they need out of this. There's a lot of things that need to be designed, right? The after parties, everything. You need to think it through carefully to get a really practical and valuable result. And other things that we do is like we query, like we will ping every single member at the end of every single day and kind of just send them a quick survey and figure out, how did this day go? Is there something we're missing? Is there something you wanted to happen in this retreat that still hasn't happened, makes you nervous? Was there something in today's program or agenda that you thought was a huge waste of time or was kind of painful to go through? So we do this during the retreat, so we don't just learn it at the end of it, but we also do it a week after when people had time to digest and see what difference did it make to see. Like, basically, if you look at every employee as a customer and the retreat is the conference that you put together for them, you want to see what's your NPS score. Like, are these customers successful and happy? Did they get something out of it that was valuable? And even further, not just query them daily and then at the end of the event, but before we do the next retreat, we'll always go back into our notes and we'll always go back and see what were the decisions we made and the things people, projects people tackled during a team retreat. And what was the impact of it? Like 6 months have passed since the last team retreat. What did we say back then? What were the project we started? What were the decisions we made? What was the impact of all of this? Did it really mean anything? Did we get anything valuable out of it? Has the business really changed? And if not, we'll start the retreat with challenging ourselves to make this retreat more meaningful. And if they have, we'll again kickstart the retreat by highlighting, last time we'd made all this fucking great shit happen. Let's make sure this time around we do the same thing.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's like one of the things, I'll give one of the things that I found really valuable at a team retreat that we did. It was just really valuable and useful for people. But we actually brought a customer in and had them talk about their experience using the product. And we had somebody on stage too with the customer, or, and you know, not on stage, but like right there, getting the worst parts of the product out and hearing all the difficulties. And once a lot of the team doesn't get to talk to the customer. So once, and you can't always arrange this if you go off to like another country or something, you don't have customers there. Although most of us have customers almost everywhere, I would imagine at this point, especially if you're doing team retreats and you're like 20, 30 people or more. But yeah, it was game changing because everyone could hear the pain in the customer's voice. And things started getting fixed, aligned with what the customer wanted really fast, like within hours, if not days. And it was incredible. So I would highly recommend, if you have the opportunity at a retreat, to bring a customer in for an hour and have them talk about their usage of your product and all the things that cause them frustration. That can be really, really valuable and a really good opportunity when everyone's together.
I love this. This is such a powerful thing. What we tend to do is actually try to organize some customer visits where we go and visit the customers at their offices.
Great.
But yeah. And there's a lot of value in seeing the customer in their natural habitat and see kind of the end users use your software on their screens and be able to like roam around the offices and get a vibe for the culture and then talk about the problems and all that. But I also see it being really powerful to invite a customer to the whatever space you have for the retreat and have them just give a little bit of a kind of, here's kind of our pain points, here's the things we like or dislike or things we're struggling, and kind of give them the attention of a big part of the company. That can be a super powerful thing. That's something we've never done, and it's definitely something we're going to try to do in the future because I love that. I think that's super powerful.
Awesome.
There's a ton more things, but I think we'll wrap it up on this when it comes to team retreats. I'm actually really curious if people out there have read articles or have attended team retreats that were more valuable than the average, or that did something new, interesting, or cool. Just reach out to us and me personally at Sally on Twitter. I'm super curious to learn more about and constantly improve this I foresee this to keep being a part of the way that we're going to be running the business. So we want to do the best company retreats that exist on this planet. So I'm always curious to learn more and hear more. So please share if you have any advice or tips on this. And I think this is it from us for this week.
Yeah, on company retreats. Bye.
All right.